tonight. Amen. We're appreciative of the service that we had last Sunday night in this place. No preaching at all. The Holy Ghost just ministered. And we're thankful for the help of the Lord tonight. What God did already in this service, what God's going to do. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bible, we'd like to turn with me to Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8. And verse 22. I have felt this burning inside of me. And I questioned tonight. Amen. All through the service, I thought, well, maybe the Lord will move and minister in a certain way. But I kept on feeling it burning. And Brother Bolton was up here. I thought, well, God, go ahead and just take over. But I felt the Holy Ghost just kept on saying, no, I got something. Amen. I gave you. Amen. And I want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm here? No medicine here? Is there no physician or doctor here? Why are not people recovering? What's wrong? What's wrong? Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the balm of Gilead. You may be seated. He begins to cry out. Jeremiah was the prophet. And we'll go into Jeremiah in just a moment, but he says, aren't there not healing ointments? And he said, is there not a doctor in the house? Why can't something be done to heal and save my dear people? You know, Jeremiah was God's master mouthpiece. He was a mouthpiece that God used. Do you know he started at 14? Do I have a 14-year-old boy? Any boy that's 14 in this room? Okay? Do I have a 14-year-old girl in this room? Almost 14. God started at this age in Jeremiah. And I want you to think about him. Jeremiah proclaimed that God chose me before I was born in my mother's womb. Tonight in this place, I believe God has chosen some people, amen, to be his mouthpiece in this hour. There's some young people we talked to today, about 20 of them, that we stayed in between service today. And we talk to our young people, begin to help them. I believe God's wanting to use some young people in this hour. God wants to raise up a team, amen, of people that will be his mouthpiece. Jeremiah said, the Lord chose me when I was in my mother's womb. And his assignments was to be over nations. God called him to root out, to tear down. You know, there's a lot of people that know how to root out, tear down. But Jeremiah, that's not just your job. Amen. God's job is not to bring destruction. But Jeremiah said, the Lord called me to root out, to tear down, to build, and to plant. I said, I want you to tear down some things, to root out some things. But I also want you to build and plant. What good is making a mess if we can't build up the things of God? God wants a people that know how to build up his kingdom. God's looking for a church that knows how to edify. Anybody could come here and do some cutting. Where's the healing at? Civil War. A lot of the physicians during that period of time, even the wars of back then in the days, a lot of the people died of blood poisoning, gangrene. And the only thing the doctors knew how to do was just saw your leg off. There was a lot of needless amputations that were done because they didn't understand the process of the body. Do you know that George Washington, he died because he bled to death. Because they weren't smart enough back in the day. They did not understand that even the process of the healing of the body is in the blood. You give people blood. But they bled George Washington trying to get rid of bad blood. And he bled to death because somebody did not understand. If they read Leviticus 17, the Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. Many people in this hour, they're going to the wrong substance to find healing in their life. But God used Jeremiah. He said, I want you to root out, tear down, but build up, and I want you to plant. God wants some planning in lives. God wants some things in order. God don't want you to be the way you always been. God wants some people that will bear and produce and be fruitful for him. The bulletin was mentioning the Holy Ghost is not, basically we say it all the time, the Holy Ghost is not a diploma. The Holy Ghost is a birth certificate. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's a beginning to start a growth process. There are people that have received the Holy Ghost and been around church. Amen. They could quote to you Acts 2:38. They could quote to you the things of the Bible, but they're still the same shape they were in years ago. God wants a healthy church, a growing people. Amen. So that was the assignment of Jeremiah to tear down. Sometimes in order to grow some things, you've got to get rid of some roots, some rocks, some stones. You got to get some things out of the way. And you got to start building some things up and planting some things. But the only resource that Jeremiah had, think with me, the only resource that he had was his mouth. God wanted him to cry out. And when he cried out, he cried to God, oh Lord, I can't speak for I'm just a child. I'm inadequate, Lord. I don't have the capabilities to make good speeches. I can't preach fancy sermons. But God said, Jeremiah, I want you just to cry out and be that mouthpiece. Amen. It may not sound good to tickle ears, but if it causes a soul to be saved, God is looking for somebody to be instrumental in this day and hour. Our world is going to hell. Young people are going to hell. Old people are going to hell. Good people are going to hell. Hold it. You mean good people? I'm going to tell you, hell is going to be full of good people. Amen. Good people don't go to heaven. Righteous people get to heaven. How do you get righteous? By obeying this precious book. Amen. Get in love with the God of this book. Hallelujah. I want to be right. Amen. I want to be righteous. Amen. There's a lot of people who want to be right in their eyes. I want to be right in God's eyes. How about you? Boy, when you look at Jeremiah, he don't impress us like Isaiah did. The book of Isaiah is a totally different book, and Isaiah was a different prophet. But Jeremiah, his book did not have poetry or beautiful in imagery and all the different words. But the power of the book comes from the insight of Jeremiah's mind. He was a living nightmare to many people in his hour, because when they saw him coming, people say, oh no, this man, he don't know how to say it, but he gets right to the point. Have you ever seen somebody that just didn't beat around the bush? It was just straightforward. Jeremiah was one of those that just said whatever the Lord told him. In this hour, God is wanting people just to be straightforward, to be that mouthpiece, to use wisdom. But Jeremiah said, God, I can't speak. I'm just a child. Hey, I want to tell you, God is looking for a yielded vessel. When you yield to God, God will use your life. You know, no other person in the Bible for as a prophet, no other man except Jesus Christ showed their feelings quite like Jeremiah. I'm sure he got tired of being ridiculed. He continued to stand alone many times against the crowd. His message was not popular, not wanted. In the end, his message proved to be true, though. Popularity may not be something everybody agrees with, But the truth is always the truth, and the truth will be the truth in the end. Hey, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the Rock of Ages? The greatest importance to Jeremiah was not popularity, but the kingdom of God. More than the kings around him that shook their head at him and said, "You're a disgusting idiot." Jeremiah had a message from God. For 40 years, Jeremiah gave the nation's leader messages that they didn't want to hear. They arrested him, imprisoned him, threw him in a pit, almost killed him, but Jeremiah hung on. God had a purpose. He let them know that the Babylonians were going to come and they're going to take you into captivity. You know who he was preaching to? He was not preaching to people that did not know God, but to the Jewish people who knew the things of God. They had at their disposal the word of God, the things of God, but they ignored God and they pressed God away and they said, we don't want that right now. We don't want the way of God. We're too popular right now. Everything's going our way right now. Oh, we're at ease at this moment. Everything is great. Everything is comfortable. Everything is riding and clicking on. But Jeremiah had a message for his generation. He said, if you keep on feeding yourself with the sins of this world, pretty soon you're going to be carried away into captivity. He also warned them against alliances and with powers of people like Egypt. And he said, when you make an association, an alliance with Egypt, it's not going to do you any good. Can I tell you, when you make alliances with sin, with the things of the world and worldliness and carnality, the Bible says a carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. You know what a carnal mind is? A carnal mind is anything that goes against God and godliness and righteousness. A carnal mind, whenever it looks at something, it always is looking the wrong direction. A carnal mind will make a carnal mouth. A carnal mind will make a carnal ear. A carnal mind will also, a heart will make also carnal eyes and a carnal ambition. Even carnality is anti-God. They ignored him. Jeremiah made it clear Judah's only hope is to renew their relationship with the living God. I'm glad tonight that the Lord meets with his people. Amen. I don't want a kiss from God. I want God. Amen. I'm not satisfied getting just a little good morning sugar from my wife. But I love it whenever she comes over and she sits next to me. Amen. And I get to hold hands with her. I get to talk with her. I get to walk with her. I get to say, that's mine. And she looks at me and says, you're mine too. Amen. You know what God is wanting? God wants more than an occasional Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, just kiss from you. God wants to walk with you. God wants to love you. God wants to be your God on Monday, on Tuesday. God just don't want to be a weekend lover. God wants to be the Lord of your life. God wants a renewed relationship. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because of the time that he shed tears. He prophesied while his nation tottered back and forth, and they eventually we're right there at the brink of captivity. Our text tonight, Jeremiah said, is there no balm? No balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? What's wrong? Are there not healing ointments in Gilead? Is there not a doctor? Why can't something be done? Let's just talk about the balm of Gilead just a moment. The balm of Gilead was a little bit of rosin that they would take from the plant or a tree there. The bark of balsam trees. They would get this rosin. It had such a healing property. It was considered to be a universal medicine. You know, even today, the derivative of that balm we use in our cough syrups. We use it in helping us to have when we have chest congestions. And it's good for bruising. It's good for swelling and damaging to the skin. Inflammation, burns, even arthritis. It was a universal medicine that was in Gilead. But the problem was, Gilead became such a big distributor of all this balm. They started selling it to other people and marketing it. And everybody knew that when you go to Gilead, oh, that was the place to go if you need some medicine. If you need an apothecary, there would be, amen, Sister Rebecca there to help you out. Amen, Sister Rebecca, that balm was there. She would say, look at you and said, oh, you got digestive problems. You take a pinch of this and you put it with a little bit of water and you mix it together and you drink it every day, 3 days, and you'll be okay. Oh, you got a little problem. Amen. You got a skin rash. Take a little bit of this balm and rub it there every day. And then just a little bit, you'll see a difference. The balm of Gilead was such a universal medicine. They used it for just about anything. You got burned, put a little bit of that on you. It's kind of like Vic Sab. I don't know about you, but you know Vic Sab works for burns, for arthritis, for congestion. Vic Sab works for all kind of things. Amen. Just don't eat it. But Gilead began to export all this. Egypt became one of the main buyers. And Phoenicia, the modern world of that day, began to buy this. Do you know that we see mentions of the balm of Gilead being in the story of Joseph? Do you remember when Joseph was sold to a caravan headed to Egypt? That caravan had spices and balms. And they were coming from Gilead back to Egypt. Genesis 37. Also, later on in the book of Genesis, the balm of Gilead makes another appearance in Joseph's story. 43:11 of Genesis. When Israel, Jacob's daddy, or Joseph's daddy, tells his sons to go back to Egypt, back to Joseph. And Joseph was still not recognized by his brothers or his daddy. But he said, I want you to bring the finest goods from our place. One of them was healing balms. Bring some balm there and exchange for some grain. Gilead was known for that healing ointment. They would sell it. It was part of their great industry that they had developed. They were making good revenue. But there was a problem. Judah, that group of people, those Israelites, they had a problem. They were sick. They were very sick people. In a place that was healing everywhere. Where there were apothecaries everywhere. There were physicians everywhere. And not only were they sick, they just couldn't get well. They could not recover. Jeremiah was weeping here. And reoccurring pitiful conditions were have no betterment. Sin was raging. You see, the sin, the sickness they had was sin. They want to kiss the idols. They want to worship other things in their life. But yet they want to say, oh, we believe in the one true God. But they were moving idols in their homes. They were letting their kids mingle with idol worshipers. They were doing things, all kind of things that were wrong and offensive to God. They were letting their kids fornicate. They were shacking up with people. They were letting down on some things. They started dressing and acting like everybody else. They start playing the part of a whore and a harlot. They start talking like everybody else. Their words became vulgar. Every other word was a curse word. And Jeremiah was weeping and he said, what's wrong with God's people? Why are they not recovering? They're sick. They're sick and they're pitiful. And right under their nose, there were the dealers of all the medicine. There were the physicians there. The supply, the availability was just right there, but it wasn't utilized. They were dying in their condition with the cure within their reach. It was a needless situation. Isn't it crazy? Amen. There's a lot of people. Amen. Oh, they come to church. They get a little touch from God, but they don't get the wholeness and the fullness of God in their life. Amen. Oh, they don't get what God is wanting to give them. I want to tell you, you need more than just talking tongues every now and then. You need to get a hold of the one true God and have a walk with God. You need to take God with you every day, every way of your life. Oh, we don't measure spirituality about how much you jabber in tongues. The evidence of somebody that really has the Holy Ghost. We know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, Charlie, amen. The Bible says you're going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit give the utterance. You remember those scriptures in Sunday school? Amen. But let me tell you, amen, the real evidence when the Holy Ghost is living inside of you is the fruit of the Spirit. There's going to be some evidence. There's going to be some fruit. There's going to be some evidence of God living in your life. Praise God. But they were more concerned with their wealth than their health. Man, whoo, we're doing good. You know, God must not, he must not be watching us too much. Because, you know, used to we'd be afraid to do this. But now, you know, it's okay now. You know, obviously God must not be too upset at me. Because God keeps on blessing me. Man, I got a pocket full. I got more now than ever. Whoa. You know, we used to drive that little car with a little Ford Escort. And oh, you know, it was there. We had Maypop tires on it. Look at us now, honey. Amen. You got a brand new vehicle. Look how far we came. Look how much we used to live in that little two-bedroom, one-bath house. Look at us now. We are somebody. We must be doing something right. Amen. I want to tell you something. I don't want to ever get to the place that I trade God and the wealth of this world than the things of God and begin to say, God, I want this, I want that, and leave God in the church house. Don't ever get to the place that you forget your treasure. You forget the God of heaven. But believe me, the pleasures of sin are just seasonal. They're just for a season. Isn't it crazy? The devil loves to be like a snake. You ever say a snake charm? I watched one time a snake. It was a squirrel. If that snake was trying to get that squirrel's attention, that snake began to move his head back and forth, trying to mesmerize that squirrel. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it wasn't even a poisonous snake, but a snake is a snake is a snake to me now. Uh-huh. Amen. That snake was moving his head. Amen. And amen. Used to. Oh, that's just a snake. He's not poisonous. But oh, I got something for my daddy. My daddy, amen, he hated snakes so bad. He said if he had one bullet in his gun and he had a 12-point buck under his deer stand and had a snake underneath it, he'd shoot the snake. I want to tell you, sin, I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how pretty sin is. I want to talk to somebody right now. You need to get rid of sin, lest sin gets rid of you. If you don't get rid of your sin, sin has a way of creeping in. Before you know it, it'll get your babies. It'll get in your home. It'll get your life. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death, the scripture says. Hallelujah. Judah became more concerned with their wealth. They got locked in a pitiful, sinful, needless condition. I tell you, you don't have to die lost. Well, the devil makes you feel, well, you messed up now. Look how pitiful you are. Look what you did in your past. Look how bad you messed up. Oh, look you. Man, you got too much in your life. You got too many things that you've done wrong. You might as well just give up. God's not going to accept you. God's not going to forgive you. Look how pitiful you are. You keep repeating the same mistake. Don't try again. I want to tell you, you don't have to be a fool either. Don't let the enemy fool you. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for Calvary? Are you thankful that God has a hope for you today? Are you thankful for the blood? Are you thankful for the goodness of God? Amen. Jesus Christ came to die for the miserable, the lost, the ungodly, the ones without hope. Jesus became the New Testament balm of Gilead. Just like the balm that came from the tree, our sins are taken care of at Calvary's tree. With Jesus in on the cross, Jeremiah cries out, "Why? Why are you doing? Why?" You're known as the people of healing. You're known as the people with the physicians, the apothecaries, those that can heal and connect you with the right thing to stop that in your life. But why is it you're not recovering and being revived? Why is it that your immunity system is poor? You let every wind of doctrine, you let every tone of the enemy get in. Amen. Even in your conversations, before you know it, your mouth is running again. And you're speaking things that are unholy, unwholesome, and ungodly. Even you learn how to gripe and complain and look for everything that is wrong. You learn how to cut and devour and backbite. And you learn how to detest the things of godliness. You hate the things of God with your mouth. Amen. Oh, you despise when God begins to speak, when God tries to reach to somebody. You despise those around you. And I hate it when pastor starts preaching like that. I hate it when the pastor steps on my toes. I hate it when the preacher preaches against sin. I don't want the pastor to get on me today. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, even when the pastor starts getting on you, even the only thing he's trying to do is to get your heart, amen, to get some balm and put some healing in your life to cause a recovery. God wants you to recover. God don't want you to die in desperation. Similar thing in Revelation, the third chapter, there was a church called the Laodicean church. The location there, the Lord calls John the Revelator to write, and he said, there's something about it. The Lord said, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. But he said, there's a problem. You're lukewarm. And he said, as a result, you're making me sick. Because you're not cold, you're not hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know why they were lukewarm? Because verse 17 of Revelation 3 says, because you said, I'm rich, I'm increased with good, I don't have need of anything. And he said, knowest thou not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? You think you got it together, but let me just tell you, you're miserable. You're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, and you're naked. Verse 18 said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. He said, I have greater gold than the worldly gold of this world. Amen. Oh, I counsel you to buy, amen, white raiment. You wear your filthy garments. I want to put some clean things on you. Amen. That you may appear to be clothed in the same. He said, you're naked. Then he said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You see, there was hope there. There's eye salve. There was a garment. There were some things there. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous therefore and repent. I want you to notice the greatest compliment that God gave the Laodicean church. He diagnosed them. He said, you got a condition that is making me sick. And you're sick. While you're thinking in your mind that you're okay, you don't have need of anything. You're poor, you're miserable. Amen. There is a silent killer that's killing you. There is a cancer at work in your life called sin. But the great physician said, but I have an answer for you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He said, come on, be zealous and repent. Amen. Are you thankful that repentance, even when God gives an open door, even God is giving you an opportunity to have a relationship with him. He said, I know you're inside and you're outside, but you're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. You brag how great you are, how you don't need anything from anyone. You're self-sufficient. Yeah. Hear me very carefully. Ever since the first lie of the serpent, when he tells Eve, you'll be like God. You'll be self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency has always been the strive of the enemy to try to get you to think that you don't need God in your life. It's the dooming, damning thing that hell wants to put inside of your life. Hear me, I need my God tonight. Amen, I need the Heavenly Father. Amen, today we have no excuses. Amen. I want the doctors touching my soul. How about you? Amen. I want the great physician to live in my life. I want his healing hands in the way of my heart. I want the balm at work in my life. I want the glory, the mercy of heaven. Amen. To be in operation in my home. I want the word of God. Amen. To be allowed to be preached to me. Amen. To get inside of my heart. I want it to cut me. I want it to divide me. I want surgery for the word of God. God, let your word do a surgery tonight. Take away the tumor. Take away the garbage out of my soul. Yes, 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 yes. Take away the cancer of sin. God wants his house to be a house of healing. Jesus walked in the temple and they had made it a den of thieves. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you perverted it. I want this to be an ICU unit, an intensive care unit, where the nobody, the unwanted, could walk in this place. Hallelujah. But the righteous, self-righteous people will look around and say, we don't want that type in our church. We don't want those in our church. Even don't you know they steal, they're on drugs. Oh, I want to tell you somebody, amen, stealing and on drugs is just as bad as gossiping. It's a sin just like backbiting. It's a sin just like cheating. Amen. It's a sin like lusting. Amen. Come on. It's from the same old barrel. Amen. It's from the same old source. Amen. Help it. You may label it what you think. You think, oh, it don't matter. It's just a little bit of gambling. It's just a little pornography. But sin is still sin. Hear me. Charlie, when we used to pick y'all up, bro, amen, there were people said, y'all crazy going in that neighborhood. You know, people tell me, man, you don't need those people in your church. You know what, Charlie? I'll take 100 Charlies. Send me the worst of the worst. And when God gets done with them, they'll be the people everybody wished they had in their church. They'll be the people they wish they had in their congregation. Because the dignified people that think they don't need anything of God. I'm religious. I pray. I know how I can explain all this. I know the Greek and I know this and that. Amen. Oh, I don't care what you know if you don't know God. Amen. God, give me somebody. Amen. That thanks the Lord for his touch. Somebody that's thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, tonight. God wants his house to be a house of change and transformation. An intensive care unit with people that walk in bruised and broken. I love the illustration that Jesus used about the great wedding feast. How the man planned it, had a great feast. Guess what? When he gave the invitation, there were people just too busy. I got to do this. I got this to happen. But then we find that, you know who came to that feast? The broken, the lame, Amen. Those that lived in the highways, the hoods, the projects of life, those that everybody looked to turn their nose against. God, you give me somebody that I love you. God, I take them and make them something beautiful for him. God is looking for you tonight. Those that will love him. The love is truth. The love is way. And Jeremiah begins to talk about it. He weeps and he said, don't you know? Your riches are snaring you. Your riches are hanging you. Your riches is going to be your downfall. You think you're going to have all this self-sufficiency to where you really think you arrive. You can't even get along in your own home because of it. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to walk with God because you're too worn out. Because you're too busy to pray. You're too busy to live for God. When you go to pray, you fall asleep. Because God is not your priority. You want the blessings of God. You want the benefits of God. Hear me? Amen. Hear me tonight? But you don't want the presence of God to walk with you every day. I don't know about you. Amen. I just don't want to be a distributor of the balm of Gilead. But I want to be the one that knows and says, let me tell you about my Jesus. He still makes a way when there is no way. He's still the truth, the way, the life. He's still the great physician. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. God wants his house to be a place of healing and cleansing. New beginnings start here and don't end here. He wants to be a place where hope can be applied to somebody whose whole life has been shattered. Oh, I grit my teeth and I want to be like Jeremiah tonight and weep because of the greediness, selfish people that hurts other people. We live in a filthy, selfish environment where people have abused and I'm telling you, they have violated other people with all kind of sickness and different things of carnality. Amen. Oh, friend, God wants to put hope and healing and joy back in the operation of somebody's heart. God wants to do that. God wants it to be in this church family. Amen. A place for broken and bruised, messed up individuals, hurting souls to know the eternal peace and healing with God. We're pasts, with the S, pasts, can be eradicated. Are you tired of things from your past still dominating you? Things from your past still reaching its ugly claws and making you a puppet. You can't get over your past. The enemy is supposed to make you feel like you're the convict and the inmate of yesterday. But I'm thankful today that there's healing. There's a Gilead. There's a balm here. There's a physician here. God wants to take your yesterday that you can't get over. And God wants to wipe and wash your sins away and remove that transgression as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Thorn of sin wants to remind you it's there. The Bible says the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. Every time you go to pray, the enemy wants to accuse you and points its ugly finger and make you feel like there's no hope for you. The enemy wants to tell you you're a hypocrite if you raise your hands and try to live for God. Amen. Oh, the enemy says, look at you. You come to church and you weep and you pray. You talk in your tongues. Amen. But look what you did yesterday. How dare you? How dare you to live for God? Look at your past. Look what you was watching 3 days ago. Look what you were doing. Look what you said out of your mouth. Amen. I want to tell you. Amen. I'm thankful for the ICU of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God sees you, but God has something for you today. place for brokenness to be mended, bruises to be healed, the messed up to be fixed up. Oh. And the eternal confusion be eternally healed. Past to be eradicated. Hallelujah. There's somebody, your past keeps haunting you like a bad dog. My God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you in the Holy Ghost tonight, God wants to heal you and eradicate that old thing from your past that has controlled and ruined your mindset, even in the house of God. Every time you feel like you got victory under your feet, the devil comes and messes up your plan. Amen. Messes up your stand and messes up the way you walk with him. I come to tell somebody, God wants to give you power that you can tread on the head of the enemy. Amen. And give you victory. There's a doctor in the house tonight. There's a God in heaven here in this place. God takes the old things and make them new. Amen. God is still the creator of new beginnings, where new creatures in Christ come forth. Old things have passed away. Woo. And behold, all things are new. Tonight, while I leave here bound, confound, down and out in sin, well, there's a healer in the house. God, balm. Gilead, the problem was Jeremiah wept. Why are you not recovering? Is there not healing balm in Gilead? Known for that healing balm and the physicians that are there. People leave here, they come from far places, and they would stand up and tell you there's something you have. But some of you, amen, you don't dip your bucket down in the well, amen, and draw from it with joy. Amen, you don't appreciate the things that you have right before you. My Jesus. Amen, you don't let yourself get cleansed. Amen, the enemy is holding you in a holding pattern, a holding cell, amen, of condemnation. Amen, you can't kick loose because you just don't let God do what he really wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the hand of God right now in this place. Amen. I want to talk to somebody's heart right now in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I need some saints to close their eyes and begin to pray with me right now while I'm talking to somebody. Amen. I don't want nobody looking around. I want you to pray with me. Amen. There's somebody, your past has dominated you in such a filthy way. Amen. Oh, hear me. You feel unsettled. You feel like a messed up situation. But the Holy Ghost has come with healing tonight for the soul. God has come to stick his hand right to the problem. And in his hand, there is healing. Amen. With the finger of God, the man of God says, cast out devils. Amen. Tonight, the hand and the finger of God wants to get in right to your place of the heart and the hurt of your life. And God is ready to deliver your soul. Hallelujah. Something you can't shake loose. Amen. The God of heaven's here. Amen. To eradicate. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to get ready tonight with us to have an altar call. Amen. Where somebody needs to get out of that chair. And if you ever ran, I wouldn't run in fear that God's going to knock me down. Amen. But you ought to run like this is your chance. Amen. You need to run to the first of the line and say, God, I've been waiting on this moment. I've been waiting on this time. God, I'm ready for healing. I'm ready for recovery. I want to do more than bounce back. But Lord God, I want the abundance of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to shake yourself right now. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need to stay the way you've been. Don't be deceived. Amen. Like the book of Revelation, they were deceived. Just like Gilead was deceived. Amen. Oh, when they are so close to the hand of healing, but they were so perverted by deception. Amen. Oh, God has come tonight, and he's standing at the door, and he's knocking, and he's calling you. God is calling somebody to step forward. God's looking for a Jeremiah. Such a crossword, I felt this in the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is calling somebody right now to the holy place. Amen. There's somebody God's giving a call to right now in this service. Amen. God's been trying to get a hold of you and get a hold of you. God has a calling for somebody tonight, like a Jeremiah calling. God wants to use your mouth. God wants to use your life. God wants to use your testimony. Amen. Oh, the enemy was going to tell you, you're unfit. You can't be used of God. You can't be an instrument of God. You can't be instrumental. But the Holy Ghost is here. God is here tonight, and he's dealing and he's moving and moving on somebody's soul. Jesus. Come on. Amen. You shouldn't leave here the way you came. Come on, you piled up the excuses. The devil gives you. He'll give you excuses. He'll give you something. He'll tell you, you don't need to do it right now, but I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, tonight's your night. Go ahead, young lady, obey the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, young lady, obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Come on, obey the Holy Ghost, young lady. The Holy Ghost is wanting to use your life. Amen. Young lady, God has plans for you. Amen. Come on, you've tapped in several times in this service, and the Holy Ghost is here to lead you deeper. Come on, obey the Holy Ghost. Come on, hallelujah. Obey the Holy Ghost. Obey the Holy Ghost. Come on, saints. I need some saints and warriors right now to pray with me. Come on, pray. Lift your voice, saint of God. Come on, prayer warriors. We're battling. We're on the front lines tonight. Amen. We're on the front lines tonight. The Holy Ghost is working. There's a victory happening. Amen. Already right now in this place. Amen. There's a victory for somebody's soul, somebody's home. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a joyful victory that God has for somebody in this house tonight. Come on, those of you from the old past, amen, you've been in services where people touch God. I want you to put your bucket deep in the well. Amen. I want you to start praying. I want you to pray deep tonight. Amen. Don't pray shallow. Amen. Don't be easily distracted. Come on, oh saints of God. Amen. I want you to pray with authority right now. Amen. There's a liberty God wants to give to souls tonight in this house. Amen. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, saint of God, pray. Pray with a fervency. Come on, pray with a fervency tonight. There's something happening in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Come on, don't let anything distract you tonight. The Holy Ghost is trying to work. The surgeon wants to work tonight. Amen. God wants to take away a cancer. God just wants to take away some things on the inside. Amen. Some hindrances, some holdbacks. Amen. Some things that are pitiful in your life. Come on, God is joyfully here tonight to work. He's joyfully wanting to heal tonight. He joyfully wants to set you loose. Oh, he's come as your advocate tonight. He's come as your high priest. He's come as your shepherd. He's come as your physician. God will do business right with you. God will not cheat you. God will deal with you rightfully. Come on, he wants to change. He wants to transition, transform somebody.
About my Jesus, let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted? cry about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who could take my cross to Calvary? Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Are you past the point of weary? Are your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Are your burdens weighing? something all too much to carry. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame has done all its stealing. You're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Let me tell you about my Jesus. All the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. He can work it all for your good. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Walking beside all my
tomorrows are safe in His hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. Just give me Jesus, and I'll be all right. With Him I can make it, walking beside it. All my tomorrows are safe in His hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. Just give me Jesus, and I'll be all right. With Him I can make it, walking beside. All my tomorrows are safe in His hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand.
Broken pieces.
atmosphere.